Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. Except today, the life of Jesus still meets yours, but we've got about 20 minutes with Pastor Phil Kuecker from Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, talking about vocation and Catherine Renbora.
Tap, tap, tap. And with a few final blows of a hammer, the list was affixed right in the middle of the door so that all passerbys would see and take note. The following is a list of abuses, grave offenses amongst the kingdom of God that are to be corrected immediately. Number one, take your shoes off at the door. The house is filthy. Number two, I don't care if all the other cool theologians are too busy thinking cool theological thoughts to make their bed. You will. Number three, it is noble to stand on God's word. It's less noble to stand outside in the middle of winter in line awaiting the outhouse. Move it along. Number four, beer bottles are not decorations. Tidy up. And number five, under no circumstances whatsoever, are you to feed the dog, the cat, the horse, the cow, the pig, the chickens, or even your own children, your vegetables. They're good for you. Eat them. If you have any problems with any of the items on this list, you can meet me for a disputation. I'll be in the kitchen. Sincerely, your wife. And Catherine smiled a wry German smile as she smoothed the edges of her poster, folded her arms, and nodded. It was hard work being the wife of the reformer. It was hard work. It was a thankless task. In comparison, it seemed to be very ordinary work compared to the work the reformer himself did. But she would continue to do it because Katie saw the extra in the ordinary. It started years earlier. Her parents had packed her up and shipped her off to a convent, a place where women would disavow men and husbands to devote themselves to God. It was a place filled with a steady diet of God's wrath against her sinfulness and you better do better or else you'll burn forever in hell, you dirty, rotten scum theology. It wasn't that pleasant. To be fair, she didn't think of herself as all that important. She was from a poor family. She knew her sin. She knew her mighty God and his holy power. So she went along with the plan. Maybe through faithful, hard work, fasting, and a bit of self-flagellation, God might possibly, maybe, eventually, if she was lucky, tolerate her at least a little bit. Which is why, when she got her hands on the words of the reformer, on God's word, she ate it up. She consumed God's grace. She devoured God's love for her. She loved to read about how Jesus lived for her, died for her, rose for her, saved her, cared for her. Got to a point where she was ready to escape. Literally escape the convent. Granted, this was not without consequence. According to civil law, if you were to leave that vow and leave the convent behind, it was a punishable to death. But she didn't care. She figured she would rather be alive, like she had never felt alive before, because of God's grace, and risk death than stay where she was and be dead inside. So a plan. And one day, the barrel man pulls up his barrel man wagon, and he sets out the barrels a little bit closer to the kitchen than normal, and he goes away for a while. If you were timing, you might have noted it took a bit longer than normal. And then he came to pull them up, the careful observer noting he was straying more than usual. Loads the barrels in the back of the truck and heads out of the convent, out of the city, out of the countryside, into another place. A couple hours, he stops, he opens up the back of the wagon and unloads the barrels to reveal not the herring that was supposed to be there, but Katie and her fellow nuns. Cold, sweaty, a bit shaky after the tight quarters, but with the biggest smiles on their faces. But now what? Well, some went to family and friends. Others found host homes. Still others, the reformer, tried to match up with suitors that they might be wed, married, and have a family to take care of them. Everyone except Katie. Katie refused. Refused houses, refused homes, refused proposals and fiancés. She only wanted to be with the one man who had changed her life, the man who had taught her God's grace, the man who had freed her spirit. She wanted to wed the reformer. Now, unfortunately for her, the reformer was both stubborn and German. He refused. But unfortunately for him, she also was stubborn and German. And the wedding bells flowed. But the happiness on her face was much greater than simply a bride on her wedding day. She had gone from uncared for, unloved, and unimportant to cared for. God gave her this husband, this house, this family, and love. God shared his grace in Jesus Christ. And important, well, at least she had an important husband. That was easy to see. Once she settled into life with Martin Luther, she saw just how important his work was firsthand. And the average
day saw him waking up, going to his room, locking the door,
writing and studying and writing and studying and writing and studying and pacing some more and then writing and studying. And then the door would burst open, papers in hand, flying through the air to the front door. Quick, put on the coke, shut the door, run to the local printing press to get out a mass produce more words of encouragement and grace to the masses. God was using him for extraordinary stuff. But what about her? What was her purpose? How could she be anything but ordinary in the shadow of the extraordinary? Well, she found her first task as she got used to life in the Luther home. See, the reformer had been gifted the black cloister. Picture this big old apartment, a place where over 40 monks used to call home. Now it had fallen into disrepair, dust among the walls, as theological minds were too busy thinking up here to care about what's down here, ink spots from writing throughout the walls, and that bed, that unmade bed. So Katie got to work. She cleaned, she tidied, she painted and patched up, she refurbished, she restored. It was a hard task. It was a sweaty task. It wasn't an easy task. But she figured if the reformer was too busy worrying about eliminating dust bunnies, he wouldn't be able to focus on eliminating false truth. Yes, it was an ordinary task, but Katie saw the extra in the ordinary. And as she spent time on that task, she developed another. She noted that slowly things from the household seemed to be missing. She began her detective work and found the answer, solved the problem as she saw her husband near the front door with a young college student. He seemed a bit frazzled, a bit stressed. And her husband was handing him one fine glass made entirely out of silver. And as he turned around, like a deer caught in the headlights because he had been caught, he feebly shrugs. Freely I've been given, freely I give. And she smiles and shrugs back. But how can you give if you have nothing? And so, she becomes the family accountant. And she saves, and she plans, and she budgets, and she adds and subtracts and multiplies and divides, and even saves up enough funds for her husband's giving habit. It was a tedious task. It was an everyday task. It was a boring task. But she figured, how could the reformer reform if, when called upon to visit the emperor, he was unable to arrive because he didn't have anything for cab fare? It was an ordinary task, yes, but Katie saw the extra in the ordinary. After a while, a new task was thrust upon her, the task of mother. And their first child, Johannes, came into the world. And over time, six children, six bundles of joy. Six little souls entered the Luther home. Souls that the reformer loved, but the reformer whose job at the time, reforming Europe and sharing that message and caring about souls miles away, was not able to spend the time he wanted. So raising the children became mainly the task of Katie. She cared for them physically and spiritually. And she clothed them and combed their hair and washed behind their ears. She taught them their ABCs and their 1-2-3s and how to make paper mache animals. She prayed with them and prayed for them and taught them Jesus, His love and forgiveness, that they might never have the guilt that she once did. And at a time when healthcare was not great, this became very important. Two children become deathly ill and die. But they die in faith and now live in heaven. A faith taught by Katie. So yeah, it was an ordinary task. It's a long task. If you've ever done childcare, it can be a patient testing task. But Katie did it. She saw the extra in the ordinary. But those deaths affected her husband. That, in combination with the constant betrayals from friends, being labeled a heretic by the church at large, and the constant threat of death and burning at the stake, got to him, even physically. The stress hurted him, so that later on in his life, he deals with exhaustion and dizziness and gallstones. Which leads to another task for Katie, household nurse. She used some of the things she had learned back at the convent, at least it was good for something, to heal him, to help him, to bring the water, to bring the concoctions that would help him feel better, to apply the cold compress on his head, to try to make him take the medicine that the stubborn German would say, no, it doesn't taste that good, but it's good for you, take it anyway. It was a long task, it was a hard task, it was a repeated task, but Katie figured, if the reformer can't even stand, how can he write? How can he speak? How can he reform? How can he share God's grace? Dad was ordinary. But Katie saw the extra in the ordinary. Which perhaps led to one of her most important tasks of all. Close confidant. Because as much as all that stuff affected him physically, the reformer, who taught thousands of souls of God's grace, he was attacked too. In his bed and with his strength weak, the thoughts am I right? Like, no, I think so. I'm just a man. It's just sinful. God is so holy, and I am so not. And if I've been wrong, I've been only adding sin and sin and sin. I'm not getting closer. I'm digging further into the deep ditch. I could feel death coming. Grace and faith, too simple, too simple. Just, I'm going to see God. Oh, I'm going to see God and his flaming, angry eyes as he stares at me and judgment and fire and hell, and that is all that awaits me. Katie, help. And Katie listened. Katie grabbed his hand. Trembled. And spoke. Shut up. God's word says Jesus loves you. God's word says Jesus lived for you. God's word says Jesus died for you. God's word says Jesus rose for you. You are forgiven. And the silence allowed the words to sink in. And the reformer thought, those words seemed so simple. Those words seemed so common. Those words were not very scholarly. Those words seemed ordinary. But he saw the extra in the ordinary. Thank you. My dear Katerina, here's the point. You might not be a reformer. You might not be a preacher. You might not be a teacher. You might not write 17 books. You might not even have 10 people following you on YouTube. For all intents and purposes, utterly ordinary according to the world, and do things that are utterly ordinary according to the world. See Jesus, who saw you as extraordinary and lived and died for you. See Jesus and see the extra in the ordinary. And do the extra in the ordinary. And God will do the extraordinary through you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Check out the show notes if you need to find a church nearby, and check us out at 2250 South Hollins Vena Road in Maumee, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. If you can't make it, tune in via YouTube. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. And of course, you can also find that link through the bio link at Instagram at Raised with Jesus. God bless your day.